Leroy Galloway is a construction manager and consultant, commercial and residential builder, and a certified inspector for all commercial and residential buildings. And now, here is About the House with Troy Galloway.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to About the House. So tickled to be back here with you folks, and this is your audio university of knowledge on everything about your home, from construction, remodeling, home improvement, building, everything home building related. You also have a forever library with our podcast and our YouTube shows that on each subject we aired. You can also find information about our company, Galloway Building Services, on gallowaybuildingservice.com and on our Facebook, Instagram, etc., etc. My name is Troy Galloway. I am your humble host, and I am very happy to be here doing this for you folks today. Just like this show, we are a one-of-a-kind construction inspection company. We also help people with construction consulting. If you have any questions, if your job's being done right or not, we also do new construction inspections. So while the job is being, you know, when you're going through the process, you know, before they cover it all up, you want to make sure it's been done right, because once it's covered, you never know until you got problems. So we take care of that. We also do commercial and residential inspections. So if you're doing, say, if you're buying a commercial building or your home, and you want to make sure that you know what you're buying, you make sure it's not a money pit, you give us a call. We also do construction conflict and resolution. And, you know, heaven forbid that you ever get caught up in legal problems on this, whether you're a contractor or if you are a homeowner or a building owner, give us a call, because we come in and we're a non-biased company. We can show and tell exactly what's happening and hopefully get things squared away for you before you take it all the way there. So our motto is and always been for years and years, is that we're here to make sure you're getting what you paid for. The job is being done right, and you're not being ripped off. So give us a call, Galloway Building Services. Office number 636-394-3112. And I actually got a great guest here. I've been wanting to have this show here for several months now. And this is a pest control company. And this is Noel Buckingham, a Buckingham Pest Control. One of the leaders, if not the premier leader in the St. Louis area. Everybody knows him, so he's been a hard catch to get here, but we got him. Welcome, Noel. Thank you for coming on. Tell us a little bit about your company, and what you do, and how long you've been doing it.
You got it. Thanks, Troy. I always introduce myself as I am Noel Buckingham, president of Buckingham Pest Control, and I am your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I started the company back in 1994, and we service the entire St. Louis, Missouri side of the river, Festus to downtown to Wentzville, everything in between. So for those of you counting counties, that's St. Louis City, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, Jefferson County, and Eastern Franklin County.
Well, how long you might have just said it, but how long have you been in business?
Because you're down looking for something.
Yeah. So, folks, hey, everybody's laughing here because I dropped my phone. As you know, we can't live without our phone. So I'm down under the table scrambling for the phone while Noel was filling time.
Sorry, I threw you under the bus.
But, oh, that's awesome.
So I started the business back in 1994, and we do pest control, termite control, wildlife control. We're one of the few companies that I think pretty much do everything.
Wow. Well, you know, right now is, you know, we got some squirrels are actually having babies, getting more rabbits out in the yard. But the number one thing I think, you know, I get called on is termites. So I like to get started with a little bit of termites, because there's a lot of misunderstanding out there about what they are. We'll start with that. What are termites? Help the folks understand that they're just not an ant.
All right. Yeah. So termites, the kind we have here in St. Louis, are subterranean termites, which means they live in the ground. So they feed on wood and cellulose products. So it doesn't necessarily have to be just wood. I've seen them eat leather boots and textbooks in a school building. But typically what everybody, the listeners, are probably concerned about is, do I have termites in my home? There's little teeny tiny bugs that are very good at remaining hidden. They'll be in your walls chewing on wood and you'll never know it. And typically it's April and May, this time of year, where somebody will get what's called a termite swarm. So a termite swarm is basically Mrs. Jones is sitting in the house one afternoon, and then all of a sudden there's 1,000 bugs flying around the living room of her house. And that's the phone call we typically get.
Flying bugs in the swarm in the house. So help me out here. You mean they are just like what makes them come to my home? Why do they swarm in my house?
So the flying ones are a reproductive cycle. So they're like ants or like any insect that lives in a social colony. So think bees, ants, termites. You've got the queens, the workers, the soldiers, the reproductive. So the winged ones are a reproductive cycle that launches in the spring, April, May. And like I said, they have no clue they're in somebody's house. They think they're in the woods somewhere, and they're just flying off to go pair up male, female, find a tree, a log, a stone to crawl under. They go into the ground, and they start the new termite colony.
So is there like a magnet, or is there something that we're doing that would attract them?
Building our houses in the middle of their territory.
Yeah. I've seen, at least I've been told that their termites have been like a nest out in the yard before they come into the house. Is there anything to that, or is that just another one of them wise tales?
No, it's true. It's go back 50 years, 100 years before the house was there, it was a forest or it was a field or whatever. There are up to, depends on area. In our area, it's four termite colonies per acre. So the termite colonies were already there. We dig out a foundation right in the middle of their neighborhood, stick a foundation there, build a house into it, and eventually they find their way into the house.
Hmm. So what about the old landfills? Well, I've always been told that like, at Maryland Heights, sitting on a lot of that is landfill area. Does landfills attract them if you built on an old landfill? Or have you ever heard of that? I mean, we hear so many wise tales. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I've never heard that, but just... common sense is the right word. Common sense would dictate that eventually, no matter what's there now, termites will move back into the area. So I've never heard a landfill specifically, but you're in St. Louis, you're in Missouri, any place is game for termites.
Now, my uncle, of course, he's long retired and he's from another state, but there was some sort of termite that was other than the subterranean termites. Is the subterranean, and I don't know what it was, but he got caught on it because he didn't even know what it was as it migrated up from Texas. Lord only knows what all migrates up from Texas. But is there any other type of termites that we should be, that's out there?
Oh, yeah. Nothing we need to worry about in Missouri, but probably the biggest one in the United States is the Formosan termite found down south, which may be the one you're referring to. They are subterranean also, but they are heavy-duty termites. I've heard they'll go through concrete, they'll go through, and they can tear a house down very, very, very quickly compared to what we have up here. We primarily have the... what's it called? Something virginicus, whatever. I can't remember the Latin name, but it's the eastern subterranean termite. So they can do damage, but it doesn't happen quickly. In other areas of the country, there's drywood termites, dampwood termites. There's arboreal termites that will actually be above ground. They can be in your roof line. That's where everybody's kind of seen the, oh my gosh, we have to pay $10,000 and put this big giant tent around a house. And yeah, that's California, that's Florida, that's in different areas with different species of termites.
Well, that's good that we don't have that. We got enough worries with bugs and such here.
I'd be a gozillionaire.
So I want to stay on termites for a little bit because that is one of the top subjects here in Missouri here. But now, is there something that we as a consumer be looking for, or is it just an automatic call you to inspect? Or is there any telltale signs that, hey, we're in trouble?
Yeah, the termite swarm is just the most in your face that gets the phone ringing. But prior to that, if you have access behind your front porch and in your garage, if you look at the band board and the sill plate behind the front porch, move the insulation, they'll leave what's called mud tubing. And if you Google it, you can see a picture of mud tubing. But that's one way that you can proactively be on top of it. Just check that once or twice a year. Check the perimeter of the garage every year. They can't go through the garage slab itself, but that expansion crack where the slab meets the footing or the foundation, whatever it would be called, they can come up right there. That's the second most common place people get termites.
What about up in the attic? Because I know on your termite reports, it says it brings up attic. Do they get up in the attic or do they just go straight to the attic? How's that work?
It is extremely rare to find, in St. Louis with the subterranean termites that we have, it's extremely rare. they would have to start at ground level, go up through the plate and the studs, and go up through the wall to get up to an attic. So I always tell people it's like going to the grocery store. I love to go to Schnucks, but I'm not going to drive to Iowa to go to Schnucks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the grocery store closest to my house.
That makes good sense, too. Now, we had found in construction, we did find up in Spanish Lake, and I guess that's one of the hot areas, too, for termites. But where they come up this front porch, up through the cedar, I don't know, I'm going to ask you about cedar being, or what types of wood's good for termites or bad for termites, but they literally come up the porch, got up in the attic, and then literally was on the other side of the house. And when we was demoing, we got into, and what a mess. And that's kind of why I preach all the time about getting house treated, regardless if you see them or not. Right. But is cedar a good termite food? Is that something they like? Is that like a T-bone steak to them?
Not generally. I'm sure it's older than I am, but everybody used to have cedar closets, and I'm sure that was something that there is some rational basis that people made cedar closets. You don't see them very often nowadays, and I'm not quite that old. I've ever had a cedar closet.
They're for moths.
Yeah. So, but the very first time I ever had an issue with termites, and this is back in the early 90s before I started my own business, we built a cedar fence, and we actually used some shims off of the cedar to stake out the property line. Took the ex-father-in-law and I a couple of weeks to build it, and when I took all those shims back out of the ground, there were termites hitting on several of them.
Wow.
In less than 3 weeks in cedar, there were actually worker termites in the cedar shims in the ground.
You know, here, so we did, and I got documentation of this. It just sounds, because it's so wild, it's hard to believe how fast the termites could eat, or what, there's no signs and then it's gone. Because that, so out in O'Fallon area, we're not going to get into detail where it was at, but I'm on board of directors of Quiver River Electric, at least at the moment. And one of our electrical poles fell over. So they thought it was ours. And so they called us up. We went out to look. No, it wasn't ours. So naturally, you know how you kicked it, you know, the can on down the road. We called Ameren UE. Well, it wasn't Ameren's, but it was another electrical company that was going through. They had just inspected them poles in 3 months before that. Now, that was like in January, and the pole fell like in March or 1st of April. Literally dropped the electrical pole in these people's backyard. Why didn't they, these are experts, we're supposed to be experts inspecting them poles. Why wouldn't they see them in January?
I mean, I have to speculate because I'm not familiar with this, but yeah, the termites here, we don't do anything fast. So it could have been anywhere from a poor inspection, or it could have been, you know, they can only inspect down to the ground level, I assume. I don't know how they do the inspection, but, you know, if all the damage was done 6 inches below the ground and it was completely hollowed out at that point in the timber itself, then maybe. But yeah, because the inspector wouldn't have been able to, I assume, wouldn't be able to test that. I don't know what their methodology is, but assuming they don't really go down below the ground line, there would have been nothing for them to check. No damage at that point, and go down another few inches and it's completely gone, it would fall over.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. I thought, we wondered what the heck is it. Now, my understanding is termites go dormant in the winter.
They're cold-blooded, so they'll go deeper in the ground.
So they don't really hibernate.
Correct.
They just go deeper.
If it's too cold for them to survive, they just go deeper till they can. Because it's like when we do a termite inspection for a real estate transaction, it's extremely common, you know, December, January, February, parts of November, parts of March. If it's really cold outside, oh, here's some termite tubing, and it's always the real estate agent. Is it active? You know, it doesn't matter in a real estate transaction. Here's evidence of termites, the inspections for the buyer and to protect the buyer. And it's nothing for, oh, it's middle of March, there's nothing active. And then 3 weeks later, it's active because it's now warmed up. The termites can survive again. They come back up and now they're back into what they were before, which is why I always tell everyone, real estate agents included, hey, just because there's nothing active at this exact moment in time doesn't mean in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, you know, fill in the blank, whatever time frame, that this won't be active again. It needs to be treated.
So that leads me to my next question. If the house has been treated in the past, and sometimes we see stickers on, you know, on the electrical boxes or outside, you know, that one that they stick outside said home. Would you still recommend that they continue treatment? Or do you think at one time's hey, we never have to do it again.
Well, multi-part answer, because a sticker doesn't equate to a treatment. So when we go out and do an inspection, we're looking for the, it's called the drill marks, the little round holes on the front porch and the garage, where typically it shows it's been treated, it's been drilled, the chemical is applied underneath as a soil treatment, and then it's plugged back in, usually with mortar or concrete. So we look for the drill marks. And even the industry itself is evolving. I'll use that word. I came up with it. It's a pretty good one. But the termite inspection form just changed back in December, which I'm sure you're aware of. And the old form used to have a spot where we could put, you know, is there evidence the house has been previously treated? And we could write, yes, there are drill marks in the garage, the front porch, the rear patio, whatever we find. That line is actually gone now.
Oh, it is.
It is. And the actual back of the form, I know the old one did. I'm sure the new one does. It used to be number two, and it said if it's been more than 5 years since the house has been treated and a warranty has not been kept up, the company may recommend another treatment. So a lot of it's just very subjective. My company, typically, if it looks like it's nothing's active, all the tubing has been scraped off, all the check marks, it's called check marks parameters that I look for, looks like it's had termites in the past, it looks like all that evidence has been knocked off, cleaned off, it shows signs of treatment, even if it has, the warranty has not been kept up, we usually, pass and fail are the wrong words, but there's no good words, so I'm going to use the word pass. We'll pass the house, clear the house, and saying, hey, no treatment is recommended. But if we get to the house and, you know, there's no signs of treatment, but everything's been scraped off, but there's no proof of treatment, we'll still recommend a treatment for that because there's no proof. There's nothing showing that the house has been treated.
Yeah, and I always say as a building inspector, if I see the house has been treated, I put it in there that they need to be, you know, highly recommend that it gets retreated. Mm-hmm. For one, we don't want to get too much into against any of the other companies, but there was a major class action suit against one of the leaders in the industry, and they got hammered because of poor treatment or whatever it was, poor chemicals. And so, heck, I felt like, you know, don't hurt anything to, but I have to say I'm guilty, and I'm one of them guilty of. I don't just say just as, if you're going to have you come out here and treat it everything. Ants, spiders. Oh, my wife complains more about, she complains about them ants. And I understand they're crazy. They're everywhere, you know, and rodents. Now you guys do rodents. So also, right?
If it has more than two legs, we do it, guaranteed.
Yeah. Now talk about, let's move on. Is there anything else you want to expand on termites? Because I wanted to move on to some of the other nuisance insects and bugs and critters out there.
Yeah. Let me hit one more thing. I would just tell the listeners that to prevent termites is the exact same as actually treating for termites. So it's the same treatment, same chemicals, same process, same pricing. But if you really want to make sure you don't have termites and you're not going to get them and you're not going to get the hidden damage, always consider, you know, it's an average price. I'm just going to throw out a number, $700. Smaller house might be a little less. Obviously, a larger house would be more. It's not astronomically expensive. And the benefit that you're going to have for 10, 20, 30 plus years to come will more than pay for itself. If you even take that, even make it 1,000 to make it a round number, 1,000 divided by 40, you're talking about $25 a year of protection, you know, to protect the home.
Do you do any new construction termite treatment?
We do. And we treat the flat work before they pour the flat work. So we do the basement, the garage, the front porch, and the rear patio.
Okay, so I've seen different systems out there. I'm just curious, you know, as far as a construction superintendent, there was that one system that maybe was using the green, and that way I just knew that they'd been there. That's how I knew that, because they'd come and go, and they'd just spray up about 4 foot up the wall and down on the floor.
The green on the concrete or the green?
In the concrete and on the, but also on the my wood. So anyway, that was that particular company. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was normal for everybody else or.
No, that was probably a borate treatment, which they actually mix a boric acid type product in water, and they can spray it on the timbers and things like that, and they'll put in a green dye. I assume it was a dye just to make it look green.
Well, but let us know, too, as a superintendent, that that guy's been there. Well, that boric solution, would that also be good? Because, you know, we always used to use the old boric acid for roaches. I mean, I wanted to move over to roaches, so this is my sneaking over to the roaches, because we hate roaches.
I love roaches.
Yeah, I bet you. Yeah, what kind? And there are several different kinds of roaches out there, isn't there?
Probably more than I can list, but what do we have? The German, Oriental, American, brown-banded, and forgot which ones I already said. I'm getting old.
No.
But yeah, the other ones we don't really see very often in the St. Louis area.
And do you help like restaurants or apartment buildings? Like for us, we have a few rental properties where roaches, maybe the neighbors are not always as clean as the neighbors next mm-hmm. to them. And, you know, they kind of pack their roaches with them. Do you, I mean, is this something that you help a lot of people with? Is it mostly the termites? Or I mean, it seems to me roaches is just as nasty as a termite, except, you know, they don't eat your home.
Yeah, they're nastier than termites, but yeah, they don't eat your house. So yeah, we'll help anybody that picks up a phone and calls. We actually do more residential than commercial, but we do commercial. Just I don't know if that's just the niche I've found myself in, just because it's a lot easier just word of mouth. I mean, if I do Troy's house and his pest control, he's probably going to recommend his mom and his sister and his friends. And it's a really easy social media post. There aren't too many restaurants that are going to go, hey, Buckingham Pest Control came out today and they got rid of our roaches. It's kind of a little bit more secretive and on the down low. You don't want people knowing that you're getting treated for roaches.
Yeah, I can see that being kind of stigmatized because it means roaches and filth kind of not necessarily go together, but that's what we think. You know, I don't want to pick on any of the anybody here, but I definitely know that that's what people, you know, they have a stigma with that. And of course, now we'll stay on roaches just for a minute because, you know, we get them 60-minute documentaries and such about them. Is it really true they mostly come out at night? And if you see them in the daytime, you got tons. Is that an old adage or just?
I mean, they're usually talking about German roaches. German roaches are usually the most prolific. Actually, let me take a step back. So when somebody's talking about water bugs, those are actually Oriental roaches.
They are roaches.
They are. So they're in the roach family, but I always tell people when we're conversing about it, it's not, you know, the Stephen King movie. You're thinking, oh my God, there's 1,000. It is extremely rare to have more than one or two Oriental roaches at a time because they're typically sneaking in from the outside. They do live outside. German roaches are actually a tropical insect that was brought to the United States hundreds of years ago. And when I worked for another company back in the day, we used to actually service a German deli down off of Grand Avenue, which I'm sure is no longer there. But, you know, straight off the boat, German lady. And when we explained that, you know, they were German roaches, very upset. We do not have these in Germany. And it's like, well, no, that's the Latin name. Germanica blatinella, you know, has nothing to do with actual Germany.
Glad you said that. We'll be getting the phone calls.
On Germans.
Yeah. My last name is Galloway, but we got a lot of German, and I'll get the family phone call. What are you saying? So it's the Latin name, folks.
My mother's maiden name is Hellenschmidt.
Oh, okay.
Straight up German.
So. Yeah, absolutely. But, so in the German roaches, which is the... Is there one, it sounds like there's at least one that's not the worst, but is there one worse than the others that we should be watching for?
Yeah, the other ones are just considered what the industry calls occasional invaders. So your water bugs, the American roaches are kind of the big ones that sort of fly. So if it's a nice, you know, kind of spring, summer night where it's getting warm and you got the door open and a big old 2-inch long roach flies into your house, that's probably an American roach. A lot of people call them a wood roach. I mean, they're nothing to worry about. They freak everybody out when you got a 2-inch pterodactyl flying through your house and it's in somebody's hair. It's a problem. But from the long-term infestation, reproduction, you'll get one flying in the house and that's it. They don't really reproduce in houses.
Good to know.
German roach, that's the one.
That's the one, okay. And it's not from Germany, folks.
Yep. And since it's tropical, they're like, oh no, it'll be middle of February. Oh, they came from the neighbor's house. Neighbors are dirty. Well, it's 10 degrees outside. They're probably not crawling through the snow because they're a warm insect. Mm-hmm. So they'll hang out around the refrigerator compressor, like your hot areas. So anything that draws a current. So I've seen them in microwave clocks and, you know, refrigerator compressors, always the hot spots of the room, you know, which you wouldn't even think of being warm in a refrigerator, but the compressor is warm.
Right. For those who know air conditioning, absolutely. That's a hot spot for sure. So that's something to be watching out for. Do they have any kind of telltale signs without seeing a roach that we should be looking for?
Most people probably wouldn't recognize it, but they're, hey, let's talk about feces. How many times you talk about feces on your show? They have little droppings that look like, kind of look like pepper, sort of. I mean, most people wouldn't recognize it as that, but you're going to walk in to get something in the kitchen at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're going to see three or four scatter. You're going to know that you have roaches. I mean, it's fairly obvious. German roaches.
So when you get them, go to the bathroom in the morning, just kind of look around. And if you got them, call no. Don't tell your wife, just call no.
Yeah, that's right. Hide it from the wife as long as you can. Just give us a call.
Yeah. Oh, so roaches, as always, that's one of the items that I know we see a lot of or hear of more. Now, ants. I hit on ants a little bit ago. And is that, so tell us more about ant problems and what. Honestly, we get on, you know how Facebook and these places are. They got every cure in the world, but they never seem to work, and they just seem to make a mess. What can we do for ants? What can you do to help us keep them ants out of them house?
Yeah, ants are the number one pest problem around the country. They're the hardest thing to get rid of once they're in the house, and that's even for a professional. So every treatment, every remedy, cure, whatever you want to call it, for ants is slow acting. In order to be effective on ant control, you need to actually control the colony. Remember, we were talking about termites. We were talking about the queens and the workers and they live in a colony system. So imagine that your ant colony is behind your dishwasher. You've got this little tiny leak that you don't even know about, and you got worker ants coming up by the tens or the hundreds, whatever, coming up under your counter. It's driving you crazy. You spray it with some over-the-counter stuff, but now they're on a different counter. It moves them around because you're never killing the queen. So the goal is you have to kill the queen. So everything that we're going to use is it's called a slow-acting, non-repellent chemical, which I always tell people, which in English means they don't know it's there. So if you've been spraying, stop. The technicians are trained to tell everybody, hey, I sprayed this. Do not spray anything else over this. You'd be shocked. People still do it. I can't live with ants on my counter. Okay, but everything that you just did counteracted what we just did. So you do have to be patient, wipe them up. But the ants will actually pick up the chemical on their body, take it back down into the wall, back behind that dishwasher, and kill the entire ant colony off. It's a little bit slower process, but it's more thorough in the end. And the next question, how do we prevent the ants? Nothing beats spraying your house on the outside quarterly. Everybody's worried about now, especially inside the house. We sent out a mass email to all of our customers when the coronavirus thing hit and said, hey, if you want us to even have a prayer on stopping these from the outside, you have to do it before it gets warm and before, the bugs are out. Once they're in your house, it's too late. We're coming in. And we are essential service, so we are allowed to go in. We use the masks and everything that we're supposed to. But, if we can spray the house four times a year, it prevents 98% of the stuff from ever getting in.
That's good to know. Is the queen something we'd be able to identify if we saw one? Or do you ever see a queen?
Very seldom, but it would probably be bigger and have wings.
I don't know too much about that. I only know about the bees, and I don't even know too much about that. I still never figured out how to sell a queen bee other than I just call her honey, That's shout out to you, Ramona. So I know. So I'm trying to just get a little favor here.
That's right.
But anyway, so we keep on moving here. So ants, that's always... The fire ants. We got them nasty ants out in the yard that went, boy, when they get you, they tear you up. Do you see much of that out here?
Fire ants have not come this far north. Sorry, I cut you off there.
No. We go throughout the Midwest, so I just I know that we run across them, but I've never, I don't do what you do. So fire ants. Yeah. So they don't come into St. Louis, but how far up north do they come? I mean, if you're looking, so this radio show goes all the way to Memphis. Goes to Nashville, goes down to Oklahoma.
I know. This is probably going back about 10 years ago or so. I know a buddy of mine in Caruthersville, we were chatting, and he said a shipment of something had come up the Mississippi, and it had fire ants, and the whatever company it was quietly wanting to get them treated real fast so they could ship it north. And he's like, no, sir, and turned it back around.
No, we saw last week I was doing an inspection, and we saw the itty bitty. Now, I know it's not fair to do this to you, but itty bitty little like mites, but they look like spiders. Do you have any idea? Because these folks are going to be listening to the show because I told them I'm having you on. So
that's right.
And they're buying their house, so they can't get you over there yet, but they want to get treated. So is that a mite or what is that a, we th- I thought maybe it was maybe a fire type ant. I don't know.
Well, I just want you to know that this is the description that we get most often on a day is this, it was this brown bug and it's small.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, was it, what color was it? Was it red?
Red.
They are probably, I'm assuming, clover mites. Very tiny, reddish, and they are mites. It's a common pest in the spring.
And so you could treat them too.
Yeah, and we're honest with everybody. We try to set up everybody with a realistic expectation. So if any of the listeners ever call in and talk to us, we don't do contracts. That's number one. I've still serviced my first residential, my first commercial customer from 1994. I've built my company around just excellent customer service and providing great pest control.
I know that you have a fabulous reputation, and we've heard about you for a long time. And just I see so much damage out there. That's kind of, you know, you got a good name out there. So that's why we're tickled to have you on. So we're going to kind of keep moving here because of the time. But let's move to bees, wasps, hornets. You know, and because we're going to jump from fire ants to right to ground bees or them fire bees or whatever them things called. I know they got to call them hornets. I don't know what they are, but I know they're mean. They will attack you and they will chase you and they will kick your butt.
Assuming you're talking about yellow jackets.
Yeah, the ones
on the ground.
Yep. When you're mowing the yard or out there in the hay field or something, do you guys treat for that?
We do. And it's actually a very simple process. I know a lot of companies try to make it this big, gigantic thing. We on most jobs, we charge $100. We come out, we have to know exactly where the hole is. It's a particular chemical, and it's a direct hit. So we can't just, oh, hey, they're flying around in here somewhere and just spray, you know, 20 square feet or whatever. If we know exactly where the hole is, we spray a couple of ounces down. It's one of the very few times I ever get stung. I got stung on a job a couple years ago a couple times because they hurt and they're aggressive. But yeah, just shoot it down the hole and tell the customer to keep the pets and the kids away for a couple of days. And if they're there on day three, call us back. And we almost never go back. Usually it's, hey, I thought there was something there. It's like, nope, nothing's moving. Oh, sorry for making you come back out. That's the typical phone call. It's almost 100% effective.
That's great. Well, so I got to tell a quick story because my uncle's going to be listening to this show too. And I told him you was coming on. So he was out there mowing in his yard. That's Oklahoma now, but it's regardless. And things are everywhere. And so he hit that. He's on his tractor and he hit one of them nests. They started swarming them, coming after him. He drove. You hear me, Dave? He was chasing them. He's on his tractor. He drove his tractor right off into the pond. He said, "The heck with it." That's not exactly what he said. But he said, "The heck with it. I'll dig that thing out." And he just went straight into the water to get rid of him. So I guess water is something that they won't get into and chase you into.
Well, yeah, they can't scuba dive or anything, so they're going to stop at the water. But yeah, I mean, that was my first experience. I was probably 12, and I was mowing my grandmother's lawn. She lived in a little mobile home out in Peavely back in the day. And, well, God rest her soul, she's not with us anymore. My mom and my aunt just laughed. They remember me coming around, hopping on one foot, yanking my shoe off, yanking my sock off. Mm-hmm. And yellow jackets were, I mean, you guys can't see this, but Troy, I mean, the yellow jackets just, because they'll sting more than once. They were just sting.
They do, don't they? They chase you and they're mean. Yeah. But now we got to, so yellow jackets is what them ground bees are called. So, mm-hmm. But you know, we've been having a ton of problems with wasps in the last few years for some reason. And what can we do? What can you do to help us with wasps? Is there anything other than just knock down the nest when we see them? Because you know how they just build everywhere. Mm-hmm. They build, you know, I mean, bad mistake I'd made. It got up under my trailer hitch and the ball. And I'm trying to get that ball to set on my hitch, and I couldn't get it. So I reached up, think it was mud. Well, I reached up and grabbed the wrong thing. Wasp.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do to help us?
Well, for a homeowner or for a business, getting back to that quarterly pest control we talk about, we spray the outside four times a year quarterly. Not all companies are created equal. So when we spray the outside of a home, we use what's called a power sprayer. not to be confused with a power washer. We've had a couple people over the last few years a little upset that when we got done with the job, we didn't power wash their house, like we said. So a power sprayer is a truck-mounted system under pressure. So the guys pull a hose out around the house. It's under pressure, so it'll shoot 20 or 25 feet. We try not to get anything on the windows, but we spray the eaves, the soffit, to try to knock down wasps and spiders. We spray around all the windows, all the doors, the entire foundation, and then 6 to 8 feet out from the foundation into the grass and landscaping. That's what helps knock down the crawling insects. So the way I explain it to people, anything that flies is hard to control. I've been sitting there with little old ladies, and she's like, I just don't want bugs flying through my yard. That's impossible. I'm an exterminator, not a magician. But as far as trying to minimize, notice I use the word minimize. There's no 100%. Try to minimize what's going to actually land on the house and start building a nest by treating the areas that they would most likely be in. So we try to go above and beyond as far as the flying insects, the wasps. But for any company to even have a remote chance of doing that, they really need to be able to treat the eaves and and actually have a good communication with the company. So this is one of the areas where we ask our customers, if you know you're having a problem, if you're seeing some wasp on your deck rails, let the technician know. We can kind of spray up there. We'll do whatever you need us to do while we're on site at no extra charge. Obviously, if we have to come out and spray things that really didn't get sprayed before, there's a small charge associated with it. But while we're on site, if you know we're there, you know we're spraying, let us know what you got going on, and we'll take care of it.
That's good to know, because that's mud daubers. Then we'll move off the stingers. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of problems with mud daubers, but they seem to be maybe, but I never hardly ever get bit, so I can't stung. So I don't know. They land on me, walk around. I don't know. Maybe it's something. And I really do laugh. I think it's something to give me in the Marine Corps, you know, when I went to Vietnam, that they just, but I don't know if that's really true or be just, they just don't want that old dirty old blood. But mud daubers, they don't seem to be very aggressive and mean, are they, or is it just me lucky?
Not that I've ever heard. I think a lot of insects, a lot of stinging insects, I mean, you can really mess with them. Like carpenter bees won't do anything. But you get one in your hand, shake it up, lean on it, try to smush it with your hands. You might find yourself in a little surprise. But a carpenter bee really won't do anything unless you, I'm not even going to say provoke it. We've all been out there with a tennis racket trying to get a carpenter bee. Mm. But, you know, unless you really grab it and manhandle it and you're using your hands or your skin and, forcing it to sting you, you're probably not going to get stung.
Well, you know, and we're going to have you come back and just hit some of these specifically, mm-hmm. and do a whole show on some of the specifics.
Anytime.
But there's just so much out there. But now you mentioned carpenter bees, and I really wish I had stayed on that with the termites, because I know that they're wood-eating insects. Mm-hmm. What should folks be looking for, and what types of wood do they like best? Is there a certain wood they like best? Do they like treated wood, for instance?
They prefer untreated, more unpainted, because even if you use treated lumber, and you probably are more of an expert than I am, over the years, the quote-unquote treatment will degrade, and it's not going to be as effective. Mm-hmm. Even if the minute it was put on, it works great, 10 years from now, it might not be quote-unquote treated. But, you know, if you paint your wood, that's a good deterrent. It's, you know, not 100% effective, but a deterrent at least. It's typically the underside of decks, you know, underside of fill-in-the-blank, whatever wood. It's the untreated side, the unpainted side. It's the area that they can get into. And usually it's almost like a termite swarm. Hey, what's the most obvious in your face? It's the 20 big gigantic bees that dive bomb you on your deck. And, you know, those are carpenter bees most likely.
Now, what are folks looking for? Say, if they don't see the bee, what says, you know, we had termites, had the tube shelter, mud shelters. But what are they looking for the folks for carpenter bees?
Sawdust would be the next thing. Like I said, it's almost always they can see. You almost always see them. Uh-huh. They are so in your face. They dive bomb. I mean, they literally dive bomb you.
They're so aggressive for them that away, but not biters or stingers. Yeah. But they're
It's almost like, you know, Japanese zeros. They're coming in for the dive, but they're not going to do anything. But sawdust, will have apartment complexes. Hey, the tenants are reporting they're seeing a lot of sawdust blowing around. So when they go up into the wood tunnel, they do pull out sawdust.
Mm.
Which is another good one, just for general knowledge for the listeners. Termites do not leave sawdust. So when somebody calls up and says, oh, we think we've got termites, they're sawdust. I eliminate termites immediately. Because termites don't leave sawdust.
Something that I, as a country boy burning firewood, I have encountered that we've actually, and I don't think a lot of these city folks realize that we actually packed them termites right into our house. What should we be looking for? I guess they're termites because they surely look like it. I mean, is that something that what can we do to be watching for that as if you burn firewood?
The big one is if you're just bringing it in kind of every day, burning it, it's probably a whole bunch of nothing. Probably the larger, more obvious one over time would be, hey, this wood pile is next to the house with no way for an inspector or anybody to look behind it. And we've treated many homes over the years where, you know, common ones are, you know, real estate transaction where mom and dad have passed away and the kids are taking over the house that hasn't really been touched in 20 years. And they move the wood pile and there's termites entering in 10 different areas behind the wood pile into the garage or whatever. Leave a foot of space behind the wood pile so anybody can look, anybody can see, anybody. It does give them quick, easy access into the structure. That's probably number one.
You know, and talking about wood up against the house, I tell you what we found is out there is we find varmints, possums, skunks, squirrels behind them wood piles. We even see them possums. I mean, I'm not against possums actually, but they actually get into the house, you know, and find them in the house, and they're pretty scary looking. I know they're kind of barbaric looking, but you know, but tell us a little. We're going to go into some of the varmints if we would.
Sure.
And so, is a possum something that we should be worried about? Do they damage your home? I mean, if they apparently ate through the wall to get into it, is that something common? Or did they find a hole through there and they just, I mean, tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to depend on scenario. So I'm going to back up just a hair. The most common wildlife critter we deal with is actually squirrels.
So, oh, yeah. Well, they're a nuisance.
Yeah, by far and away, a squirrel needs roughly a hole the size of a baseball to get in. Does not have to be perfectly round. It can be kind of lateral. They're number one. But if you get a raccoon or a possum, a little bit harder to deal with. They need a hole roughly the size of a volleyball for them to even get in. Usually the opening is there. They're just taking advantage of it typically. But, yeah, just, I mean, call a pro. I mean, they're not hard to deal with, but unless you really know what you're doing with an animal that could bite, that could.
With rabies?
Yeah, potentially rabies.
I'm taking rabies.
When it's trapped and cornered, it could get aggressive. You know, leave it to a pro. It just, you know, we take care of everything up to, actually, for wildlife control, that is one we only do to a certain height for liability reasons and for just ease of the job, I guess. There are companies that'll take a 40-foot ladder out, do tall stuff. That's not our wheelhouse. We'll do up to about a 25-foot area before we pass it along to someone. We have people we can refer in that situation.
Well, how do you do it? Is there like a poison that you use? I mean, I know a lot of people don't want anything bad to happen to them, but they also don't want to live with them. What is it that, how do you eradicate them kind of varmints from our property?
Yeah, if I said we used bait and killed them, we'd have pitchforks and mobs outside.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure.
So yeah, we do live trap. That is our main, if plan B, plan C don't work and we're having issues, we can put a kill trap in, but we definitely try to live trap, and it's effective 99% of the time. So we'll do everything in a live trap, take it away.
What do you do with a skunk? I mean, a live trap with a skunk. I mean, that doesn't sound like that's a very good system.
Well,
it sounds scary to me.
Actually, they have a specific trap made for a skunk. Yeah, just you can see something moving in it. You can tell you have something trapped, but typically a skunk will not spray if it can't see its target, if it can't see. Mm-hmm. I had a kind of a feisty one a month ago, where it kind of sprayed itself inside of the cage and outside my truck. I was like, oh man. But it didn't actually, the smell didn't get in my truck, didn't get on my truck. It sprayed itself.
What if that spray gets on your dog? We hear all kinds of tomato juice stories and things. I mean, is there anything we could do for our poor animals if they get sprayed?
I've never had it happen, so I assume tomato juice. And
so,
yeah,
so.
There's, to my knowledge, there's no good answer, but I've never had it happen before.
The best answer is just stay away from them skunks. But
stay
now,
away.
So when you release them skunks, so what do? Take them to your neighbor's house you don't like and release them, or your in-laws that you...
That's a great idea, Troy.
Yeah.
I never thought of it before, and I may have to...
Who don't you like? We got skunks.
Yes. Man, you put me on the spot, Troy. You delete this one. But no, skunks are one of the few that we do euthanize. It's just there's no place good to go with them. They don't like to leave a trap. They don't. So it's not like we can just leave a trap in a deserted area and just open it, let it go. They just, for whatever reason, they don't like to leave. And you're also putting a mess into someone else's area. So we don't do, for everybody listening that's mad at me right now, we don't do a lot of skunk work. It's price prohibitive. A lot of people don't want to pay. Oh, I'll just let them go on, do their thing.
And we really don't have a lot of skunk problem. I knew one, a real estate agent had a whole family of them, and that guy kept on digging them out. We didn't, at that time, I don't know what happened. You wasn't able to get out there or something, and that people, they was trying to sell that house, and five different skunks coming underneath the porch. I mean, is that because they're raising them? Is that babies, right? I know you're just guessing at it.
Possibly, you'd be surprised how long people will let a problem go on. It could have been going on for a year and didn't do anything. And if it's a real estate transaction, oh no, now we must do something. And now it's not just one squirrel or one skunk. Now it's a family. So even with our wildlife control, we charge by the trip, not by the animal. Most companies charge by the animal, which can get pretty expensive. So if we catch four squirrels at one time, it's one price.
Now, do skunks carry rabies? What all animals do carry rabies? Squirrels, rabbits, skunks? I mean, do they? I don't know. Should we be worried about that? Possums?
Yeah, the honest answer is I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever had anybody ask me that question. But, it's just, hey, I got an animal, get it the hell out of here. That's basically
we're always worried that, of course, we were raised to, everything has rabies.
I grew up in the cities.
Well, they got rabies in there, too. So, now to wrap the show up and just kind of roll into mice problems. Mm-hmm. Do you do a lot of eradication or removing mice or what? Because we do have a mouse problem in the spring, in the wintertime when they start moving in.
Yeah, we do a fair amount. So basically, the easiest way for most, whether it be bugs, insects, mice, rodents, whatever, is to prevent. So when folks call in, we have a program where we, on an average size home, we'll put out two exterior stations, two interior stations, a couple glue boards. But there's no magic spray. There's nothing you can just, if it's not going to hurt a 1 ounce mouse, it's not going to hurt your pets or your kids. That's why I tell people about the spray. That's how you know the sprays are safe, because it's not going to hurt a 1 ounce mouse. But, we put it on the outside, and if you keep the stations baited around the outside of the home, it's going to kill off most of the rodents that come around the house. And I always tell people, because they're kind of, I'm not familiar with this. Well, have you ever been to a restaurant or a commercial building and you see those black boxes around the outside? They're like, yeah. Those are rodent stations. You put there 24 hours, 7 day a week, 365 days, and it literally just, any mouse that comes up to it, it's curious, goes in, eats the poison bait, goes elsewhere and dies. And it prevents rodents from getting into the structure.
That's good to know. You just got to come back, because I'm thinking a ton more termite questions and trapping and different types of the old products that we heard about that are outlawed now. They said that stuff would last forever. They don't sell it anymore. But so there's just so much. And I know, actually you give me a whole list of different questions and I'm I know that people don't like talking about this, but this is one of the subjects that actually get brought up more than does my window work when I do building inspections or commercial building inspections. They're more worried about them kind of things than we are about a window not working or a door not working. And for good reason, we're all scared of the bugs and we're scared of the rabies and we're scared of the unknown is what it is. And that's why I'd love to have you come in and share with us.
Absolutely. And believe it or not, probably one of my most popular presentations, we both do networking and things. The most popular presentation I get asked for is just the 10-minute question and answer. I don't even come in prepared. It's just like, go. Who's got a question? And everybody just loves that little segment that I do, because it's unscripted and it's whatever you want to know.
Well, I know a great producer, and maybe we could get Mr. Joey here that's helping us, and maybe we could do a video of one of your 10-minute presentations.
Sure.
And Joey's glad to have Joey back here with us here. He's been doing our producer since we was on the radio, and appreciate him coming here. And I appreciate you've been just so much information. I could just pick your brain for hours. But we'll just put different shows, and that way we can specialize now. So we have the general and then the specifics. So, tell people how to get a hold of you, your phone number, your different media, social media networking, whatever.
Sure. So I'm Noel Buckingham. It's Buckingham Pest Control. The phone number is 636-274-7400. When you call in, tell the lovely and talented Kristen that Noel sent you. She typically answers most of the phones and is widely knowledgeable in what we do and everything that we do. We're on Facebook, Buckingham Pest Control. I think we're on Twitter. We don't do much with it, but you can find us on all the social media.
So your phone number one more time and just a little bit slower.
636-274-7400.
All right.
I'm a fast talker.
I am too, and we always do that. And nothing more frustrating. Up, Ted Gummit. So I always repeat the number. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you. And folks, if you ever need a building inspection or a termite inspection, call Noel for the termite or pest control. Give us a call for your building inspection or your construction inspections. That's Troy Galloway with Galloway Building Services. And we do engineering work. We've been in the business now for, about 42 years. So we got a little bit of snow on the roof, but praise God, I got snow instead of just being bald. Give us a call. Office number is 636-394-3112. That's 636-394-3112. Noel, thank you. And thank you, Joey. Good to see you back. We kind of been on a little bit of a break here with this corona stuff, but the world is coming back and I'm really tickled. Thanks, folks. Glad to have you.
Sponsored by Troy Galloway and Galloway Building Services, your top choice for professional home inspections in the St. Louis area. GallowayBuildingServices.com.